then it was like, go big or go home, right? Like, you're going to dive in, you got to step off the board and, you know, you got to go in.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. In this episode of How Success Happens, I spoke with Lori and Scott Levine, the co-founders of Scott's Protein Balls. I talked to them about making a snack a successful business. Both Lori and Scott Levine created Scott's Protein Balls, one of my favorites, I must admit, and a healthier alternative to traditional protein bars. When Lori battled with breast cancer, Scott embarked on a mission to create a healthy and delicious snack she could enjoy, leading to the creation of the protein balls. Crafted from whole grain oats, flaxseed, chia seeds, and protein powder, their nutritious protein balls offer a super healthy, satisfying snack. But my first question for Lori, where I started, was her and growing up and seeing if she ever envisioned a path for her to becoming a successful entrepreneur.
Well, thank you also for having us, Robert. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. So I'm an accounting, finance, CPA by trade. That's what my career was. And so I really did not imagine myself as an entrepreneur in the food space. It was what Scott calls us accidental entrepreneurs, which we can explain. But my dad and my brother are both in sales. And I definitely picked up that skill set from them. And my dad actually and my mom work for us. They go to stores, local supermarkets, and do demonstrations every Friday. And they give out the protein balls. And my dad literally takes his shopping cart, people's shopping carts, and walks them over to where the product is sold. And those were always our best-selling days. So I definitely picked up the sales aspect from my family.
Got it. And how about yourself, Scott? Like growing up, was there an influence? Did you think that you'd end up starting a business?
Yeah, I don't know that there was an influence per se, but when I look back, I realize that I was always an entrepreneur, whether it was babysitting, cutting lawns, delivering papers, whatever it may be, I always knew I needed to make money. And so I found ways to do it. So I don't think at the time I thought of myself as an entrepreneur, but I always was always doing something on my own, trying to make some money. So somehow, some way in my background, there's some part of me that felt like that would be a great thing to have, but just came about.
So how did it come about? How did the business start? Lori, were you eating a lot of protein bars? What happened?
So in 2017, out of nowhere, I got diagnosed with breast cancer. No family history, no reason, just that's what it is. And it was a terrible time in our lives. And I had to go through surgery and treatment. I live in Long Island, and the hospital I chose to do the work, to do the surgery through was NYU. So I had to be in the city for 8 weeks, 5 days a week, getting radiation. And I have amazing family and friends who drove me both ways, but I just ate on the go. I ate what I could eat. I ate protein bars, lots of them. I didn't take care of myself. The parking garage was next door to an insomnia cookie. And I made the decision that every time I had radiation, I was entitled to an insomnia cookie. So I have a sweet tooth. But when the treatments were over and reality set in and I got on the scale and looked in the mirror, I said, I got to do something here. I didn't have a clean, healthy treat to get me through it. I decided I'm going to get the best shape of my life. And I went to a nutritionist. I never felt better. I was 52. But she said, no more bars, no more protein bars. They sit on the shelf. They have preservatives. They have soy, sugar. We don't read the back. We just listen to the marketing and we think they're healthy because they're called protein bars. Most people I know have a couple on them at a time. So it was a real hole in my diet. And I would come home and complain to Scott, who's a CPA, CFO, and say, I need something. I have a hole. And he said, you know what? You've been through so much. I wasn't really able to help. I'm going to create something for you. And that's what he did. He created this little peanut butter cacao protein ball. He combined recipes online and it was perfect. And I would start to go back to my life and go back to classes and seeing friends. And I started carrying them around in a little snack size Ziploc. And before I knew it, I was eating one and handing them out. And my Ziplocs got bigger and friends and family just started taking them and left our house with them. And it became a thing. It was Scott's balls. And it became funny and it was a joke. And but then people started saying, you know what? You have something here. You have a business. Can you make an almond butter one? Can you make a nut-free one? And so we laughed it all off, but we were not doing that. I was recovering from breast cancer. Scott was commuting 3 hours a day, but it wasn't happening. Fast forward, the pandemic hit. And all of a sudden, we're home. Our sons moved home with my son's now fiance. And we didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. It was a scary time in the world. And I said, okay, guys, you know what? We're going to make an inventory of protein balls. And I didn't know if it was what we were going to do with them or what was going to happen in the world. But it really kept us busy and focused, and it bonded us as a family. And so we did. I ordered gigantic 50-pound bags of ingredients, chest freezers, and we spent COVID rolling protein balls. And then COVID started to open up a little bit. And then we started put a Google Doc up. And now we have a business. And then we put it on Facebook. And the power of the mom groups is unbelievable. When we started gaining some traction, got into some local stores. We were first making them in our kitchen, obviously. Then we ended up making them in the back of a bagel store. And we were wearing masks. We didn't even know who these people were that were rolling these balls. And some people didn't speak the same language as us, but we had a common goal. And then we were getting into stores. And then we moved to a commercial kitchen and launched the website in mid-21. So that's what happened. Scott could tell you where we went from there.
I want to know, it's an incredibly impressive story and coming off the heels of something traumatic in your life and where opportunity comes from, which is great. Have that problem, protein bars, thinking they're healthy, I'll eat that for lunch. And then really realizing after doing a lot of research here, how unhealthy most protein bars are. My question though, you know, for Scott is how did you come up with your I don't know, you're not a chef, you're a cook. What was the process for you to figure out something that was going to taste good? And like, how did you do that?
CPA number two over here. But it was all trial and error, to be honest. When she had a problem, she needed a solution. And I said, you know what, I'm going to figure it out. That meant trial and error. I went on the internet and I said, all right, let's find healthy dessert type snacks. And you read about all these recipes and people saying how great they are. Don't believe it. Those two ingredient brownie bars are awful.
Right.
But ultimately, I settled on a protein ball and I found a very basic recipe and it needed some jazzing up, needed some more things to be added to it. So after a lot of trial and error of mixing this much or that much or whatever, and then finding a taste that we liked, and then from that, backing into, all right, it needs to be a certain number of calories. It needs to have a certain amount of protein. Fortunately, a lot of that is math. While it's trial and error, it's a lot of math that I was good at. And then eventually we settled on a recipe that works. It was 80 calories. It was the right size. It had just enough dessert-like taste. So it wasn't too sweet, but it was sweet enough. And it worked for her. So it was literally just me in the kitchen at night with a mixing bowl, just a bunch of ingredients on the table, getting frustrated from time to time when it was awful, when it came out lousy. But that's what it was, a bunch of trial and error.
And then Lori, just from that standpoint, were you taking Scott's balls? why not? Were you taking Scott's balls each day and then taking them and you would have them for lunch? You continued to eat them basically post going for chemo, and did it just become a regular part of your diet?
So that is what happened. I ended up eating like two for breakfast, and then we ultimately just, Scott created more flavors. So we had a peanut butter one, and then there were requests for an almond butter one, and then there were requests for nut-free ones. So we have 8 flavors now, 6 we offer all the time, and then we have a few limited edition ones. So the different flavors, they became different parts of my day. So while I love to eat 2 Java peanut butter protein balls for breakfast, after dinner, I am going straight for brownie batter. And it wasn't even supposed to be called brownie batter. I don't remember what it was going to be called, but Scott said, taste this. And I said, oh my God, that is brownie batter. And it became brownie batter. And at 4 in the afternoon, when I'm hangry, I will have a confetti ball just for a pick-me-up. And we have customers ages 2 to 92. We have a 2-year-old sitting in a stroller sucking on a nut-free ball, thinking they're eating cookie dough or cake batter. And they're eating chia seeds and flax seeds and organic oats. And I wish things like that existed for my kids back
then.
So
great. It's really great just when you think about it and having that healthy option, especially someone personally. I drink a lot of protein shakes and I exercise. And this morning I had actually a peanut butter Java Scott's protein ball. I knew we were doing the show. And it's great. It's filling. And it's caught on, especially I've seen at different events that I've been to, health-focused events where you're doing a lot of display. And obviously, the business has done extremely well and it exploded. But I want to go back to, you're both CPAs. I know most CPAs, and I have a CPA and love him. Actually, he's in Long Island. And they're pretty risk averse. What was it like for you to just say, let's make this into a business? Was that difficult, using the term, take a jump off the diving board?
Yes. So Scott and I may both have the same profession and background, but we have very different personalities. So I was born positive. I'm surprised when it rains. I think every day is going to be sunshine and rainbows. For better or worse, sometimes it's worse. But so I was always, okay, we're going to do this. And Scott was a little more skeptical. But an amazing thing happened early on. We got on an episode, on a segment for Good Morning America. We were one of three brands chosen of a women-founded business that came through a breast cancer diagnosis. And it was actually insane. We thought, oh, that's so nice. They're going to tell our story. And it's so lovely. Being so naive in the entrepreneurial space, we didn't have any idea that they were going to flash our website, which was literally like turned on the day before. And 1,000 orders came within 24 hours. And we were still in our house, in our kitchen in Long Island. And Scott was literally sweating and panicking as the orders just kept coming in and coming in. And it was incredible. And that was like a defining moment. And we called friends, family, anyone off the street who could come and pack boxes and shipments. And we got 1,000 orders out within 3 or 4 days from our house. And I think, was that when we knew?
That was when we were willing to dive in, right? Like at that point, we were in maybe a dozen stores. We had a website just for a couple of months. We were making the product. We were shipping it around the country. We got 10 orders a week, maybe 5 orders a week. It was a lot. And then this was just like out of a commercial where they take the Ethernet cord, they plug it into the wall, and they put their website on the internet, and they sit there and they look at their watch, and then all of a sudden it starts happening. That's what it was like. And back then, because we had so few orders, my watch would buzz every time an order came in. And then my watch started buzzing at 8:20 and didn't stop for 4 hours. So it was really crazy. So that was the moment where Lori's, there's a business here. And then it was like, go big or go home, right? Like, you're going to dive in, you got to step off the board and you got to go in. So that's what we did. And soon after that, we hired our first other executive, like a COO kind of person. And then we've been through a few people like that over time. It's hard. We've gotten to a point now where she's got the business in a good place with good people. And I'm she's got a lot going on.
I like to say we have a lot of balls in the air.
No pun intended. Let me ask you, you get all these orders. It's exhilarating, I'm sure. You're then freaking out because you have to fulfill the orders, right? My next thought would be, okay, this is amazing. We got on GMA. You saw the power of GMA and what it was able to do. At that point, after getting everything out, was the next step, hey, are these people going to reorder? Was that really what you were thinking at the time to see if this really was a business?
Sure. The question is, how do you get them to reorder? I think the good thing about that was this was an amazing experience for us. The one part that was difficult was a lot of these people were just doing it to support a business, right? A cancer cause.
Sure.
We donate a percentage of proceeds to a percentage of sales to DRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So I think what happened was a lot of these people would just consider that like a donation. But we were able to keep a lot of them. Obviously, we couldn't keep all thousands of them, but we put little notes in, we would send out nice emails, and we were able to keep a decent amount of them.
No, that's awesome. And then in terms of the business from that point on and knowing you have something, how difficult was it and what were your next steps in terms of growing from that point? Because that was still really, as you said, you had, I think, 6 stores at the time. You had your site. It was becoming, it was a real business, obviously, incredibly, but then it exploded. How did that?
A lot of it is actually what you referred to at the beginning, grassroots, pounding the pavement. I tirelessly did events, popped up everywhere. So the power of social media, of influencers, we do a lot of gifting. We send out to people, and that's really how we proved our business model. They see it in person and then they love it. We have a website and we also went on Amazon. I say the name of our website and then I say Amazon and people go on it. We do coupons and we have a subscription business where people can get it monthly. And so all of those different ways really help drive sales. We collect emails at events that we do. But that first summer, I swear I probably did 10 events a week. I didn't sleep. I had a great team and we crushed it. And the Hamptons people then left and went and became the New York City, Westchester, Connecticut, Palm Beach people. And then I went to Palm Beach and we were in stores in stores in Florida, Connecticut, like all the surrounding states. So it really was like hitting the pavement. That is really what we did.
And we make a good product that people want to rebuy, right? So once we get them to buy, they come back a lot. I mean, maybe not every single month, but they come back a lot. You know, if you get a customer who's going to buy 4 or 5 or 6 times a year, that's a good customer.
More from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Are you looking to put your products in front of millions of customers? Then Walmart Marketplace is the platform for you. They get 120 million unique monthly visitors to Walmart.com, according to Comscore. That's 120 million unique monthly visitors. Walmart Marketplace is easily one of the fastest growing and largest e-commerce platforms in the world. And right now, they're running a limited time promotional offer for all new sellers. If you join today, you can save up to 50% off referral and fulfillment fees. Conditions apply. Unlock the scale of one of the world's largest retailers and gain instant access to millions of customers on marketplace.walmart.com/success. That's marketplace.walmart.com/success. Head over and get started today.
And we're back.
Have you heard, have there been stories that people told you, like I'm someone who's had them over the course of the last few years, and Lori, like you said, at events, and I'm very interested in especially now nutrition and eating a better diet. In terms of when you look at it, you're customer base now, has it grown outside of the original people that were, like, as you mentioned, the Hamptons, New York City?
Yeah.
How have you done that?
That is social media. That is getting the right team to, we grew our business, our D2C business, without really putting much money into advertising. We literally just started an ad budget and it just grew. People are interested. They find out. They like to see. We've worked hard to send packages all over the country to people and hope that they're going to post. We've done a lot of it organically without having to spend money, because if you get something in the mail and you like it, you're going to post about it, because humans are today's billboards, right? It's not the same as it was. There's no magazine that, you know, I take that back. We also do advertise in magazines, but people sell things now. And if you follow influencers and celebrities, which we do, we've gotten them into their hands. And through through agencies that we've worked with, through, we've used Sabrina Levine PR. She was amazing. We were getting into a lot of articles and in national publications. So I think a combination of social media, PR, grassroots, we've gone to all the trade shows. That was a great avenue for us. At the trade shows, we found the co-packer, the distributor, the investors. We're currently doing a fundraise now, but we're talking to people we met at the trade shows, but we met the retailers, we met people. So we've been able to make connections with people across the country.
How you mentioned it, it's such a different world. And you're talking about influencers and how people find out about products and humans being billboards, which is all really true. And you're able to sell direct DTC. But I know in the food business and consumer product business, retail has always been a huge driver, where you have these big accounts like the Wegmans and the Krogers. And have you gone that route? How has that been something that you started to target or have already done?
Yes, absolutely. We had opportunities earlier on to talk to some national retailers, and we actually turned them down. We decided together that you only get one shot, right? And we could not make enough product to go into 400 stores. And it was a very tough decision, and it was, right? But we realized, you know what? Let's wait. We know we have something. People reorder, stores reorder. So we waited. And now our supply chain is good to go. I had 300 things a year ago to do on my to-do list. Now I have a dozen. And we're raising money. We've been self-funded all along. And we have now a co-packer. We are doing our first kosher run next week. We just got kosher certification. Nice. And we're going for the other certifications. But we now have, so the co-packer's lined up. The distributor, we're onboarding as we speak with a national distributor, one of the largest of the natural food distributors in the country. We've hired, I guess I'll say that was, we're onboarding with Chihi. Sure. We've hired Hanson Faso. They're our brokers. I had a call this morning with 100 of their reps to talk about the product and give them the talk points. And so we're going, like we're there. We're, go ahead, Scott.
Sorry. Yeah, we did, to your point about the retailers, we did it regionally. So on Long Island, we got into a supermarket chain called King Cullen, right? So that's, there you go. We started with 8 stores. We moved to 13, 15, and now we're in 20 of their stores. We got into Food Town. They started us in 1, now we're in 4. Then we went, this summer, we got into Citarella, which to us was a big coup. And actually even before King Cullen, I forget, we got into the 3 regional airports through Marshall Retail Group. But you talk about how retail gets the word out, right? So now we've got that product in the airports. People are taking it and flying all over the country. We're getting orders on our website from California, Idaho, Washington, New Mexico, and even in the Hamptons, people are there, but then they go wherever they go back to. But when they see it in Golden Pear, they see it in Citarella, in the Hamptons, it makes a big difference. And they go back to Connecticut, it's at Citarella and Greenwich Village. So, I mean, Greenwich, it's Greenwich Village in the city. So retail has always been important, but our biggest focus was online because A, we didn't really have national distribution, which now Lori has got us ready for, but we didn't ignore retail entirely.
Yeah, it sounds like now with hiring a distributor and having them out pounding the pavement, it's like 100 Loris, right? Going out there and they know how food brokers work. And I mean, it could be some significant growth, I would imagine.
I can only hope they have 100 Loris.
You know what? You're right. I can't say that because, you know,
right,
hopefully there's one or two of them in there that, but you have at least the boots on the ground and people out there and talking to different retailers. It could be a big opportunity. What at this point, or why at this point, did you decide to raise money?
As Lori said before, we didn't really put much money into media. And it comes back to that go big or go home. Like, we're a regional company and we're going to keep that regional focus, but we need to step up. We've got a national distributor signed up. We've got a co-packer. We've got a 3PL who will ship all over the country for us.
Yep.
We're like poised to take off in every anything that you want to grow needs investment.
Yeah. Where do you see in terms of the business? Obviously, this is a big step. And what's your hope over the next year or so? I used to say next 3 years or 5 years, but things move so quickly nowadays. What is your vision over the next year, 18 months, 24 months?
Yeah, a short term, we expect to at least triple the amount of stores we're in this year and continue on that trajectory. We have other products that we want to launch. We have some good advisors and we've been told to stay in our lane. Let's get this working. Let's get this humming. And then we want to go into a couple of other products. And part of the money that we want, once we raise the fund, the money, we want to hire like the right people. We have someone hired on our team now. We do everything fractionally. We found that's a great way to run a small business because we're getting enough of their time, but we're also getting the benefit of what they've learned from their other CPG clients. And we didn't have the CPG background, so now having people with it is really a benefit. But to answer your question, we will just keep growing this thing. People are addicted, and it's a joke, but we get the funniest texts every day about, my wife ate the last ball. I can't believe it. The kids are getting mad at the parents are getting mad at the kids and people are hiding it in their freezer like Rosanna Scotto. And there's a play on the name and people are really enjoying it. Like it's a thing.
And the digital space is an area that we really have not attacked really well yet. We haven't had to spend a lot of money on the digital marketing to grow it. And we're very confident that putting some money into the digital marketing world is going to reap tremendous rewards for us.
Yeah, it sounds like initially, when you went direct to consumer and how you started there, there was a lot of success. I'm talking about like influencers and those folks. So I'm sure that's a great opportunity. Are you able to share the other product lines or thoughts you have? And you don't have to because I know you get a lot of these competitors out there.
No, what? Thank you. We know that because we eat them ourselves. If you see me walking around in the city or the Hamptons, you'll see me munching on protein balls. Yeah, sure. Why not? So one thing that is on the pipeline is dog treats. We're going to do.
I love that idea.
We might do that next. But we also think that we're a fresh product. So you keep us in the freezer or you put us in the fridge. We're good on the go for 3 days, which is huge. So you could throw it in your gym bag, your backpack, your kids' lunch, but we're not in the shelf-stable market because of that. I'm gonna make a kit where you can make it at home. Once we get the name a little bit more established, and that way we're in all of it. You can do it yourself or you can buy it. And what we found is people think it's easy to make this product, right? People do it themselves. A very small handful of themselves do it more than once. It's a pain. You need a lot of ingredients. And we have proven that people would rather buy it than make it. But you know what? We'll make the at-home kit because we'll make it easy. We'll give you the pre-apportioned amounts. So that's one thing. Definitely dog treats.
I love that idea.
I've already spoken to a pet nutritionist. And believe it or not, dogs can eat most of the ingredients already. We'll change that up. But that'll be definitely... People spend their money on their kids and their pets, right?
Even more so their pets. I have a dog. I have kids and a dog. And every night I have a deal with him. I have I'll start eating more Scott's protein balls, but because I'm trying to get healthier. But I eat Fig Newtons from Trader Joe's and I slip him. He gets a half. I get one. Yeah. And he loves it. And you know what? I'm going to have to let you guys know because I'm gonna test out one of the protein balls tonight.
Read the ingredients. No chocolate.
Trust me. This guy I take care of, but he'll be a good tester for you when you do it. But I do love that idea and where you're going. And before I let you go, I want to ask you, have there been people, when you go back and think about this, and you started this because of having breast cancer, and it was a really difficult time, have you gotten feedback or have you gotten letters or just from people also who had been going through illnesses who started to eat better or healthier? Has that happened?
Yes, absolutely. And that is really what makes me feel the best. My 5-year clean, cancer-free anniversary was last year. And we formed a partnership with BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. The research they funded actually impacted my own personal journey. It told me when I could come off of a medicine. It told me what the route was just from supporting research. So through that journey, we're also part of the Samuel Waxman Cancer Research Foundation. I actually had a call this week with Dr. Waxman, and I want to work with these charities to find a way to get this product out there even more. Because if I only knew about something like this, you're going through cancer treatment, they're putting poison in your body to kill the cancer, and you don't know what to eat. You don't know what to eat. So like for that, for sure. But by doing all the grassroots events that I've done all over the East Coast, I've really get to hear everyone's story, and everyone's got a story. Everyone's life is touched by cancer, or we support Hope for Depression charity. We support autism charities, because everything comes back to my grandma said, you are what you eat. And if you're eating clean, you know what? I'm feeling better when I'm eating clean. Sure, I go eat a real brownie if I feel like it, but I really feel good when I eat better. And I think that through nutrition and through what we've learned and through the wellness space that we're in, you really can help and touch a lot of lives. We're gluten-free, dairy-free, plant-based, soy-free. We have nut-free options, non-GMO. And so I just think that the consumers are smarter now, and they want what they want. And we're going to change the world one protein bowl at a time. But I do think that people are up for the change. And my dad, who won't drink almond milk, he has to have his regular old milk. He will eat the brownie ball. When people come up to us at the booth and they'll say, that's too healthy for me. And we give them one of the sweeter ones. And you know what? It really does work for anybody and everybody.
All right. Last question before I let you both go. Husband, wife, working together. What are the pros? What are the cons? If there are any, what, how? And I don't want to get you guys into a fight before I leave you here. And then it's the weekend. But how's that been? What has that been like?
I'm trying to decide who should talk first.
I think you probably should, and then Scott should probably just nod or something.
Okay, fair. So my husband made me this protein ball as a labor of love. In our wildest dreams, we're going to be married 35 years in August. We never, ever expected to be in business together, as most husband and wives don't. But we're so different that our skill sets actually really complement each other. And we really do fit together like a hand in a glove. I don't know. I'm hoping he's going to say something like this, but we bring out the best in each other and we remedy the worst in each other.
Yeah. Listen, you also have to respect each other, right? We both are smart. We think differently. As much as we think alike, we think differently. And we have to be willing to listen to somebody else and admit when you're wrong, because I can't be right 100% of the time. And honestly, you got to check the ego at the door. Like I don't have a big ego to begin with. In the relationship, it's not about who's right and who's wrong or who's winning and who's losing. It's about working together to make something great. And that's really at the end of the day what it's all about. Well, even if whether it's husband and wife or even an organization, when you have a bunch of executives, you just have to understand you got to work, treat people with kindness, be nice to people, be respectful. The same things that work in an organization work at home, in a company at home, or in a relationship at home. Be nice, be kind, be reasonable.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. I really appreciate you both coming on and wish you continued success. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome seeing the product just continue to grow. I think I first had one maybe, now it's been already 3-4 years. And I love, now I'm going to even love it more the more I see it now, knowing you both.
Thank you.
So best of luck. And I'm sure we'll be, as soon as those dog treats come out, I'll be fine.
We'll call you.
That's great.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business Or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuckman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.